This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
You've been friends since you were children. You don't remember the last time you went a day without speaking, and then one day, your hands touch by accident. You look into one another's eyes, seeing each other for the first time. It's like time stops and the birds are singing just for you. But you're both engaged to other people. Also, you're both wedding planners and you're planning each other's weddings. If anything were to happen, you wouldn't just be breaking two hearts, you'd be breaking two contracts. But everything's changed now. You can't pretend it hasn't. The day arrives at last, and instead of two weddings, the guests find only one. You're doing it. You're going to marry each other. To hell with your commitments. No refunds. But as the ring slides down your finger, you realize you've made a terrible mistake. Your true love isn't rattling off wedding vows. Your true love isn't even at this wedding. Your true love is the gargle. The Sonic Glossy Magazine to the Bugle's audio newspaper for visual world. Welcome to this audio magazine. All of the news, none of the politics. I'm your host, Alice Fraser. Your guest editors for this week's edition of the podcast are Neil Delamere and Alison Spittle. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Alice. Great to be on with Neil again.
Alison, you have your own sound effect introduction that you did there. That was amazing. Oh.
Yes. It's like, you know the way producers of songs have like, red one. This is me introducing myself in a podcast with my own sound effect, yeah.
I think that was magnificent. I think you should have it in real life. I think it should be like Miss Alison Spittle of Moat County Meath. When you walk into a room and a guy like in red livery and an old horn just announces you everywhere.
I would love that. Like my coming to America. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, but also like an air horn. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
quite an aggressive combination of the horn and the engine together.
That's how she arrives to everything. She rocks up in a car that's bouncing. And then she presses the horn, and it goes da 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 da. Alice's metal.
Well, we're going to clasp each other's hips and dance merrily into the body of this week's magazine. But first, let's have a look at the front cover. This week, the front cover is an Oscars award looking sad as everyone ignores it to focus on Will Smith getting his slap on. And the headlines are, the other side of the Oscars. Apparently there was some sort of awards. And the new diet that's turning heads. Keep these names out your f***ing mouth.
There's been too many takes. Would you agree? Like, genuinely, there's a part of me that like goes, Will Smith should be ashamed of himself. But like every wedding I've been to, someone has done a Will Smith. Do you know what I mean? Where, like, no, Neil, is that not normal for you?
No, I'm just thinking that the chances of every wedding you've ever been at, Jada Pinkett Smith to be at them, is just remarkable.
I move in great circles.
You really do. It's the introductory horn, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is, definitely. The introductory horn. That sounds like a one-night stand or something.
That was the originally tabled name for Tinder, but they decided to...
Yeah.
It was a particularly raucous dance in our school. This is where you go for it.
Yeah, the introductory horn is like what some man can be arrested for on the train or something.
Hello.
Like, it was just an introductory horn.
Hong Kong.
Nope.
I just put it out there and let the universe decide how to react.
That's what flashers do, don't they? Generally, they're just too open with the world, aren't they? Yeah, I don't know. Like, my take is very ambivalent. It changes all the time. I don't think that was a bad joke that Chris Rock did. I thought it was quite complimentary. G.I. Jane is beautiful.
Yeah.
There are more horrible alopecia jokes that, you know, that that could have come out of Chris Rock's mouth. And I think he thought he was doing a softball by comparing a very beautiful woman to another very beautiful woman with a similar haircut.
I think so too. I believe when he says he didn't know about the alopecia. Also, he doesn't write the jokes. Come on. He's writing for the Oscars. He's got a team of like 10 people writing jokes.
Yeah.
Somebody said what they would have liked to have seen is just... if they just in terms of not the morals of this, just the sheer spectacle of if Chris Rock, unbeknownst to Will Smith, had done a boxing film and Will Smith goes to, and he just slips the punch and decks him. Just in terms of the outcome of that, it would have been absolutely amazing. The skinny older dude just lamps Will Smith and goes, "You didn't expect that, did you?" And he just lords over his body.
Genuinely, I think that happened in Ireland, though. I think there was an Irish comedian. I'm not going to name him, but he used to be a boxer and he was doing stand-up. And some drunk guy got up to give him a slap. And that drunk guy went to sleep for a few seconds. I don't know how, but he just was unconscious. So there is that thing of like, especially comedians are getting fitter and fitter these days. And angrier, you know? I would be a bit wary about punching out a comedian. It's not like the old days.
Well, let's not be every other single podcast that's happening at the moment. I feel like all podcasts obligatorily have to mention the slap. But let's move on. The satirical cartoon for this week is a Ukrainian fighter in a tuxedo slapping a Russian tank while his friend films it. Caption, "Do they care about us now?" And now we get into our cosplay section this week. Jamie Lee Curtis, actor and name hoarder, has announced that not only will she be officiating her daughter's wedding, she'll be doing it dressed as Jaina Proudmoore, a character from the video game World of Warcraft. The most powerful human sorceress alive, Jamie Lee Curtis invented two new kinds of nappy. That's true. Did you know that? Although the patent for one of them has expired, so... hands on nappies, everybody.
This is genuine. This is not like a...
this is genuine.
Half a glass of water rumours or anything like that.
Nope. This is a legitimate pursuit of Jamie Lee Curtis when she's not acting her pants off. She's acting baby's pants on.
Wow.
You would have thought that, like, thousands of years of human civilization would have brought us to peak nappy. I wouldn't have thought that we could get to... modifications, but Jamie Lee Curtis has squared that circle.
I mean, she's thought inside the box, outside the box, all of the things that a nappy can be, in or outside a box. Those are the only two things a nappy can be. It's really the only two things anything can be, if you put things in a certain way.
Never go in Dragon's Den, Alice. Never go in Dragon's Den. Just walking up the stairs, throwing a box of nappies at them, going, "Listen, it's in the box or out of the box. You f***ing decide. I'm not here to babysit you. I have a child. That's why I'm designing a new nappy."
Well, Neil Delamere, you have the beard of a man who might play World of Warcraft. Can you unpack this story for us?
Well, the first thing I thought about when I saw this story is that Alison, so she's officiating at her daughter's wedding, and that Alison and I were raised in very traditional Catholic Ireland. So if one of your parents was officiating your wedding, that would be the talk of the town. Wouldn't it, Alison? It would be the talk of the town. You'd be standing there going, "Continue, Father Brennan, because it's not like father, like son. I'm not afraid of commitment." Wink, 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 wink. But she dressed as somebody from World of Warcraft. I'm hoping that, because her daughter's into cosplay as well, I'm hoping that there's loads of cosplay all over the place. I would like somebody to be dressed as Frodo. And then when somebody brings the rings out, he just grabs them and then destroys them by throwing them into a lava lamp. But they're getting married, I think, in her backyard, which is the ultimate kind of wealthy Californian thing to do, I think. Like, I don't think anybody does that in England or Ireland. I don't know about Australia, where you would have a magnificent kind of maybe outback ranch, but nobody does it here. Nobody does it in suburbia. Nobody goes, Mary, stand over by the green wheelie bin there because I want to get the fake plastic grass in the background. Your father now is going to stand with one foot in the paddling pool and one foot on the goalpost. It's going to look amazing for the pictures. It's a very American thing to do.
It's incredibly American. It also feels like essentially weddings are cosplay, though. To say that, like, Jamie Lee Curtis is doing cosplay at a wedding. Aren't we all cosplaying when we go to a wedding? My mammy wants me to get married so hard because she wants to wear a fascinator, essentially. And I'm like, "Mammy, you can wear a fascinator any day of the week, love. Do you know? Yeah. Wear a fancy hat."
Yeah, it's just a tiny hat. It's just not enough of a hat.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what a fascinator is, just not enough of a hat.
That is exactly it. That's exactly it. It's like a peninsula of hats. You know what I mean? It's not quite an island, not quite land. It's just there. So interesting you were saying about like cosplaying and computer games and stuff. Like, they're into computer games. And I think they're missing a trick here with who Jamie Lee Curtis should be cosplaying as. I think Sonic the Hedgehog. I mean, the rings are there. You know, you drop the ring, she's going to pick it up straight away. Zoom, you know, she's got it. And then you just hit her.
I just think this is a bit rich. I mean, it's a bit rich in that they're having their fabulous wedding at their in the backyard. But I mean, I think it's a bit rich to ask your mum to work on your wedding day.
No, they love it.
Because her job is dressing up as other people.
Mammies love doing the extra bit, you know, that you can go, are you okay, mam? And they're like, no, I'm fine. I live to serve. And this is you're just giving mammy that extra bit to do.
Actually, I've become way more disobliging since I had a baby.
Are you confusing your mother with the New York police force? I live to serve. And if any of you get out of the line, you're going down.
I know. Look, they're both very good at smelling weed. Like a very small amount of it. Do you know? They both. I get stopped and searched by my mammy. Like, you know.
I was stopped. My mother used to carry her wooden spoon in a holster. She was hardcore. She was like, she'd check it out and it would be like Zorro. The first bit of back chat, like, boom, bang, 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 back in the holster. And there'd be a big M on your chest for mammy.
That's true.
No messing around.
Neil, maybe we should explain as Irish people. We all had quite violent childhoods.
Yeah. But I mean, we're grand.
We are. Perfectly fine.
We're grand. Very good at attracting foreign direct investment. That's the main thing that we do very well.
Yeah, the spatula industry are very...
You're into cosplay, though, really, kind of, Alison, aren't you? Because I've seen you dress up as film characters with, you know, watching films, film-alongs, shall we say.
Yeah, I've dressed up as Miss Trunchbull. That's when I realised that buns suit me. Like, that woman, isn't it? Miss Trunchbull from Matilda, the headmaster, a horrible child abuser in the story, but incredible looks that woman was serving. She's a fashion icon. She really is.
Oh, yeah. Villains have got all the best looks. Best tailoring goes to villains.
They really do, don't they? That's why, like, Karl Lagerfeld was such a stylish man, but yet so horrible, you know?
Never be a defense attorney, Alison. Like, I'm not sure if that's proper mitigation. He goes, listen, I mean, there was a lot of war crimes, I'll be honest with you, but I mean, look at his suit. Look how sharp that is.
Look at him serve. Look at him serve. Slay. Alison, he may have really slayed a lot of people, but has he not slayed us with that incredible suit as well? As
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. Do you want to open that package, but your mouth is full? Is that itch too far away to reach with your teeth? Are you sick of the taste of lottery scratchings? Then you need fingernails. Fingernails. The teeth for your hands. Have you ever imagined having teeth for nails or nails for teeth?
Oh.
That you have now.
I think a trip to the manicurist would be way worse. I mean, you wouldn't be able to chat for one, do you know? She'd be like, how's your day? And then you're like, oh, why aren't you? While she's painting your teeth.
I mean, you would always be biting your nails as well. Very rude.
Teeth for nails would be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Will Smith would give a better slap, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's only one step away from Wolverine at that point, isn't it?
The closest I know of teeth to nails is my grandmother, who had a bracelet with every single one of her three children's childhood teeth set in gold around it, with the dates that they had been lost and the initials of each child. So I think children have about 20 teeth before you get your adult set, so about 60 teeth on a gold charm bracelet.
What you have to hope for there is that she was patient enough to wait for the last ones to fall out. Like, if she was a real collector. She was a real collector.
Like a Pandora.
She had 54 teeth that she was looking at the youngest child going, okay.
Trophy collectors, big game hunter.
Get the trampoline and the hammer.
What's amazing is that both me and Neil have disclosed that in our childhood we got beaten with wooden spoons. But yeah, what you've shared, Alice, is far more traumatic, like as a childhood memory.
That's a Hannibal Lecter prequel. I mean, ours are charming prologues to Angela's Ashes. Yours full on horror.
You're sick of waking up well-rested? Are you tired of not being able to hang paintings with your mattress? What's the point of a pillow if it can't stick two pieces of wood together? It's time for a change. It's time for a bed of nails. Bed of nails. Why go to bed if you're not going to get nailed? Do you love the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Do you have no strong feelings about the DC Cinematic Universe? Did you forget there was a Godzilla Cinematic Universe? Wouldn't it be even better if they were all the same cinematic universe? Introducing the Cinematic Universe. It's not art if it's not a sequel. You care too much about your health to drink Kool-Aid. Fizzy drinks are even worse. But your cult needs to drink something if it's going to transcend physical reality. Try half a glass of water. It's difficult to end everything with it, but you can try.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
That's all the time we have for our ad section, because now it's time for your reverse Cinderella news. We've all done it. We've gone to Spain. We've met an adult man dressed as a baby. We've had his name tattooed on our bum. Alison Spittle, can you unpack this story for us?
So this is an amazing story. It's about this lady. She's on holiday. I think it's in Magaluf, of course. And she's hunting down the man whose name she got tattooed on her bum. She says, "I don't regret my tattoo at all. I'll never get rid of it either. It's a nice reminder of our girl's trip away." And what's hilarious to me is Kaylee Williams is her name. She got this man's name tattooed on her bum. It's not just his first name. She got the whole lot. It's Daniel Ford. So Daniel Ford has been tattooed on her left bum cheek. And it was for £30, it was, right? And now she's trying to get back in touch with him.
God gave you two cheeks for a reason. If you're going to get a man's name tattooed on your bum, get his phone number and email address on the other side.
You have the room. What's amazing to me is it actually, when I got my first tattoo in Newcastle, one that cost £30, I was far too drunk. I was bleeding through. Like, he really shouldn't have tattooed me, this man. But he also tattooed a stag party in front of me. And everyone had to sign the groom's bum. And he got, about 12 names tattooed on his bum. So, this man's arse looked like the Declaration of Independence by the end of it. Or, one of those tea towels you get from schools where people get to sign stuff. And then, you know, it was just too much writing. So this lady's gone for a minimalist approach with Daniel Ford.
That's not a tattoo. That's a petition.
That is a petition, yeah. Petitioning his fiancé.
If you sign the bum enough, it'll pass something.
Yeah. I wasn't shocked by this story. I really am rooting for her to meet him. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
She's happily married to somebody else, and she hasn't decided what she's going to do when she meets him. So either she's looking to get out of her current relationship, or she just wants revenge, and she's just going to hunt him down and tattoo her name on his bum.
could you imagine a romantic comedy with Jennifer Lopez is in it. She wakes up with a tattoo of a full name across her arse and has to find the man. This is the setup. I would watch this as the romantic comedy. It would be beautiful. Because, you know, the tropes are gone. You can't run through an airport anymore without being shot, you know?
Mm-hmm. True. Can't play a boombox anymore. You have to offer someone one earbud, which is less grand as a gesture.
You can't even follow someone around anymore and make big gestures. That is stalking. So, we have to change the romantic comedy trope. And I think this is the first step. I think this is great.
I do have this image of the two of them. What I would like to have happened, right? They were both very drunk when this happened, right? So there's a very good chance that he doesn't remember her and she doesn't remember him, because she didn't see him the next day after she got the tattoo done, right? Mm. So I quite like the idea of them hooking up years later, right? They're both single. They get back to her place or his place. They take off their clothes. They start to do what people do. And his name is pre-tattooed on her backside. I think the level of freaking out that would engender in any person would be amazing to watch.
And this is the story. A friend of mine once went on a first date with a magician, and they got back to her house and he did a magic trick that involved a card suddenly appearing on the outside of her bedroom window, which means that he had scouted her place out beforehand and stuck a card on the outside of her bedroom window on spec that he would be invited in.
Alice, I can't believe you're telling me that magicians are creepy. This is like destroying my whole outlook on life.
I've got nothing against magicians. My only issue with magicians is that they're men who couldn't talk to women, who decided that the solution was to trick them better.
I don't know. I'd be freaked out if you were named after your dad, Neil. Do you remember you were talking about like the kind of like, you know, if you're named after your dad and then you find this woman with your name on your arse, you'd be like, I don't know what to think. Like, you know, yeah. It would be scary.
Well, would you continue as a man? I don't know. Would you just continue and go? you certainly couldn't say who's your daddy during the thing. You would insist on Junior, wouldn't you? You'd insist that the Junior be part of the tattoo. Just so we're clear on this.
Now it's time for our next segment, which is our reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring something in to review out of 5 stars. This week, Neil Delamere, what have you brought in for us?
I have been watching The Great British Bake Off because I had it recorded and it's available on, I think, all 4. And this season is exceptional. Jürgen the German is one of my favorite real life people. From day one, he came out and was smashing it. Like day one, he was like, I have invented a fully functioning electron microscope out of gingerbread and the brandy snap. And on the slides, they're made of gelatin, and the slide has a genuine DNA sample of Mr. Kipling. And then there was these other people were like, I made an apple tart. It was absolutely fantastic. It's so good because it represents, well, first of all, it's all French, which I didn't realize. Everything is creme patisserie, creme diplomate, and creme Gerard Depardieu baked in a Citroën Picasso. It's all amazing stuff. And it's all from if you look at these French recipes, they're so advanced. This is from recipe books from the 19th century. And you think, I don't know about you, Alison, I think, like, what does a 19th century Irish recipe book say? It says, 1, find food. 2, have you found food? No, go to America. That's what it says. 3, steal the food. If you have stolen the food, go to Australia. That's basically how it works. And it presents this kind of twee version of Britishness that everybody around the world, and even in Ireland, finds quite comforting. Because you see a white tent in the English countryside at 8 o'clock on Channel 4, and you think, oh, people are baking. Whereas you see a white tent on the news from, say, London, you go, there's been a murder, a very significant murder.
And every time I see a white tent now, I think, rapid antigen testing centre.
Oh, well, that's better than the state pathologist walking out going, whoa. So I think, generally speaking, Great British Bake Off this year, 5 stars. Mm.
5 stars for the Great British Bake Off. I watched an episode of the Great British Bake Off when I was in labour, so I can second that 5-star experience.
Did they take the child out and go, oh, it needs to be proofed more, and then put the child back in?
Not enough lamination. Not enough lamination on this chat. Alison Spittle, what have you brought in for us?
So I've started to review COVID. I got COVID 2 weeks ago. It was shit. I slept for a long time. One of the big things about COVID is brain fog. I couldn't watch anything that required any kind of thought altogether. So I just started watching the Formula One reality TV series on Netflix.
Amazing.
It's so funny because I'm watching it and, you know, you're starting to root for these people, and then you get to see their family's houses and you're like, hey, they're rich. And that's the whole thing about Formula One. Everyone's rich in it. So I root for nobody in it. There's no true underdogs in Formula One. They're going to be fine. Like, if you don't make it in Formula One, you'll do hedge funding. You'll go into your dad's wine business. you're going to be fine. So it was great to watch a reality show that didn't require any brain work altogether. And for COVID, I'm going to give it 2 stars out of 5. It's a shitty disease, but I survived it. And yeah, and for race to this Formula One reality TV show I'm watching, I'm going to give that 2 stars as well, because I need to watch it when I'm not having COVID, and we'll see how it is. But the brain fog is still here.
This is my belief: you should never recommend a movie that you have seen on a plane, because you think it's amazing when you're on a plane. That's because you're dehydrated and miserable and bored out of your mind, and you would be grateful to anything. Never recommend anything that you enjoyed while you were on a plane or during a breakup. Those are both, your just judgment is impaired.
Oh, so I shouldn't recommend, like, a shagging strangers then? Like, because I do that when I'm on a plane or I'm in a breakup or something.
Now it's time for our Seagull War section. The only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is with a good guy with a gun. Presumably to put the good guy with the gun in front of the bad guy is sort of a human shield. Apparently the principle works equally well for seagulls. For years, St. Mark's Square in Venice has been plagued by seagull thieves. This new breed of gentleman pickpocket is so daring that they've been known disgustingly to steal food directly from tourists' mouths while they're chewing it, which is only romantic if you're both dogs. Neil Delamere, you're both dogs. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, so it's one of the hotels, specifically in St. Mark's Square. They've decided that they're going to give their patrons orange water pistols. They researched orange because apparently seagulls hate orange. And if the seagull sees the water pistol, it will fly away and not plague the patron of the hotel's lives. Now, I have a couple of issues with this. First of all, I know it's a bit of a stereotype to say, but seagulls certainly are getting bigger. They're absolutely massive. Now, I remember going to the beach here in Dublin when I was a child, and you get a little whatever ice cream and a seagull would come down and grab your ice cream. I was at Dollymount Strand 2 weeks ago, and I was getting an ice cream, and I turned around and I saw a seagull fly off with the van. You just heard the Doppler effect of they're massive. However, if you're the type of seagull that is disturbed by a jet of water, you're a type of seagull. I feel the emphasis should be on the sea, and you're annoyed by water from a water pistol. I'm not sure that you're the type of aggressive seagull that would steal food from somebody's mouth. You know, I don't know if that necessarily works. Like, they're like, well, we get a lot of mosquitoes here as well. So what we started doing is throwing blood bags at them. Oh, that'll really teach them a lesson.
I mean, it's just also the solution being these water pistols for protection against the seagulls, when we all know the studies show that the real way to fix the problem is to do something about the socioeconomic conditions the seagulls are living in.
Tough on seagulls, tough on the causes of seagulls.
Yep.
I think you could be right. I mean, I think it's just a plaster. I think it's just a band-aid over the avian problem. I think you're right, Alice. But also, Venice is one of the most expensive cities on earth. Like, if I paid 21 euro for a club sandwich, there isn't an animal on the planet that would get it off me. An escaped tiger could be roaming St. Mark's Square and people would be like, he caused the crowds to flee, except one Irish man who shouted at the man-eater, and I quote, "This cornetto was 9 euro. I leave it where I like. It's not Joe Exotic that you have here."
You know, I think I've talked about it before in this podcast. I am shooting pigeons with a water pistol at the moment. My balcony has been once again taken over by pigeons. And like one of the steps, I got 2 self-help books about how to get rid of pigeons.
And, wow.
Isn't that mad?
There's 2.
Yeah, it's not working on the pigeons, so I don't see how it's going to work on the seagulls.
Don't you fear escalation? That if you bring a pistol to the pigeon fight, they'll come back with super soakers, and the next thing there's an arms race and everyone's riding around in tanks.
The pigeons are trying to take over.
They really are trying to take over, yeah. They're incredible at building nests.
Resisting the urge for a joke here, Alison.
Oh, yeah?
The pigeons are taking over.
Oh, right, yeah.
That would mean it was some sort of a... Anybody? Coup. Okay, coup. I'm saying coup.
Look, I'm from Australia, where we genuinely had a thing called the Emu War, which the emus won. So look that up on Wikipedia if you want something fun to do with your afternoon. I'm not going to tell you about it. That's not news.
So if the, does that mean the emus are through to the final and they play the cods who won the Icelandic-British thing? That's how that works, isn't it?
That is how it works. No, they're real emus. Apparently they're really hard to shoot at because they've got tiny heads, tiny heads and beautiful mad eyes, and they'll kick your guts out.
What a country.
What a country. Well, that's all the time we have for our Seagull War news because we've reached the end of our episode, flipping through the ads at the back. Neil Delamere, have you got anything to plug?
I'm on tour and doing the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I just found out that Alison Spittle was there as well, and Alice Fraser. Hopefully he's going to be there and we can share the same room again and we can both forget each other afterwards.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't forget you. I just didn't have your last name on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, okay, all right. And I'm on social at Neil Delamere Comedy and all the rest.
Alison Spittle, have you got anything to plug?
Yes, so I'm bringing over an Edinburgh show. It's not on sale yet. It's called Wet, and it's about aqua aerobics and violence and the coil. Like, those are the... I'm trying to link them all together at the moment. And I got a load of previews coming up. So I got some previews in London. I'm going to McLanliff Festival. I'm going to Cambridge Fringe Festival. Hay on Wye, Where the Light Gets In. Edinburgh. If you go to my Instagram page, I'll have a full list of where you can find me and my previews. I've also got a podcast called The Alison Spittle Show, which is on the Headstuff Network, which is coming back this year. And another podcast called Wheel of Misfortune, which I'm presenting with guest co-hosts at the moment. So, yeah, please come and have a listen to that.
I'd like to say thank you to our roving reporters, Miss Otis, who for the Seagull Water Pistol and Bum Tattoo stories, and Sam Rugg for additional material to this week's script. I would also like to say I'm Alice Fraser. Find me online at alliterative on Twitter and Instagram. That's A-L-I-T-E-R-A-T-I-V-E. Or look me up on patreon.com/AliceFraser, which is a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts, and blogs. I am on tour. I'm currently in Melbourne. I will be in Perth and Sydney. Then I will be in London, elsewhere in the UK, and in Edinburgh with my show Kronos. So that's going to be fun. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, The Last Post, Tiny Revolutions, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.